This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
When the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No, bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try
to save a world?
To save a world
that's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live. Live for life.
But let live, everybody.
Live life. For the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
You see, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live, but who really cares? Who's willing to try? Yeah, to save our world. Yeah, save our sweet world. Save a world that is destined to die.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. And that was Mr. Marvin Gaye, Save the Children. And we need to think about all of that and then some more. Anyway, I'm going to have several topics, but I'm two I have in the tank waiting to do. We're going to be talking about colleges here in the local area probably next week, and hoping to have a guest on some of the. I'm told that if you think UH is bad, look at some of the other colleges. And so I have a gentleman who wants to share his and other stories about that, was an administrator there. And we're going to talk about, obviously, the voting, the lack of ballots. And a great many of us are saying it's just a shortage, and the sum it all up, it's an apology was offered. But I have some very interesting thoughts and some extreme thoughts that may come across to some of you. But I recall in the very recent past, people died to vote, and we'll be talking about that. And is an apology sufficient when you consider the nature of this beast and the struggle that it takes to vote? And then we'll discuss what is the price of a vote? How much does a vote cost? And things of that nature. And Marcia Joyner was going to join us, and I will introduce her shortly. But one of the other things that I'm putting together also is on the landfill. And we're going to post a lot of stuff at carolcox.com, but I'm still putting it together. But a couple little tidbits. You know, in the election, the race for mayor, you didn't hear any more of the landfill issues. And so those of you that are on the west side, just know that, in my opinion and the information that I have, suggests that that landfill will be there at the Waimanala Gulch landfill site for a long, long time to come. And that Blue Ribbon Commission was just that, a blue ribbon, nothing to do with facts, nothing to do with truth. And one of the very specific points why I say that is that while they went back to huddle together, and the Mayor Carlisle and others, to decide what the list is going to contain and what sites, just remember, the city embraced the fight and went in and to the judge and asked to have the extension lifted because the state wanted to close it down in the 31st of 2012. But July, so what happened? They fought it. The courts ruled that they didn't have to close it. So basically, they pulled the wool over your eyes, and they being Peter Carlisle and Caldwell, but you guys were stuck on the rail, and how much money Ben stole, and Ben couldn't muster up a strong voice, and the other supporters, I don't know, they ran south when you call them names. I guess they decided to be quiet. They should have been fighting. But anyway, just giving you a little insight. Unfortunately, what is happening on the west side as well, where the landfill, you have some of those people who have accepting grants, landfill benefit grants, for themselves and not the community. So just a little heads up. You will see that the landfill will be there for many, 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 many years to come. They talk now of 15 years. But remember, you still can go up the mountain, and I think that's going to be the case. But anyway, we're going to change here and talk about the voting and Mr. Nago and the voting rights and all of those things. Good morning, Marcia. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Well,
first, let me say thank you so much for doing this program. If you remember, and maybe your audience doesn't, in the letter from the Birmingham jail that Dr. Martin Luther King wrote, he said, "We can never be content with a superficial analysis mm-hmm. of the situation without looking deeper." And what the paper gave us yesterday was a superficial analysis. What the governor gave us was a superficial analysis. And what Nago gave us was a superficial analysis. So I want to thank you for looking beyond the superficial analysis and getting at, or at least opening the door to getting at, a real look into what happened.
So this analysis, is that does it the word find its origin in anal?
I'm sorry, what'd you say, hon?
Does the word analysis find its roots in analysts?
What we got from the advertise the Star, whatever that paper is, Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it, on one hand, they're saying, you know, the conspiracy theorists are jumping to conclusions and da-da-da-da, and on the other hand, saying he gives a lame explanation and what have you. And I just asked the basic question. If it was about saving money, then how much does a vote cost? And if it's about saving money, making decisions, the end result is the suppression of one's vote in a democracy.
Well, if you were a candidate, a little House candidate, and those are the ones who win or lose by 10, 15, 20 votes, and you lost, how much was that worth to you?
Mm-hmm.
And just saying, I'm sorry, that, how can you make that candidate whole?
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, what you're right. How much does it cost?
Yeah.
You can't make that person whole, those little candidates. And in House races, making sure that everyone votes is paramount.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the survival of the fittest and the survival of the fortunate. And on one hand, Marshall, what I have a difficult time with is that looking at these candidates, and if they don't harbor the value and the fire in their belly that they've been deprived, or just one single vote or the democratic process has been impeded or bridged by this nonsense, then good, they don't belong in office either, because apparently they don't have any fire, and the flames went out long time ago, and so maybe it's a natural process of selection, of pruning. They're not worth our vote, and maybe it's just other hand, you know, I'm just speaking.
What you're saying. I can't speak for the candidates, and I'm not going to try.
Mm-hmm.
However, like you, I am one of those that was born into Jim Crow, came of age in the civil rights movement, who walked picket lines, who went to jail, who had friends that died for the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I voted early, I still feel that that the right to vote was abridged, and that the people that made these decisions did not come through those ages. They did not have people that died for this right to vote, or at least they think they didn't. They don't know what people have gone through for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to say, well, we made a decision based on bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit. This is if you read, and any of your listeners, you've got lots of listeners that will do research, if you go to the Voting Rights Act of 1965 as amended, you will see that it is an offense. It is a federal offense, and therefore a felony, to tamper with the devices to vote. A ballot is a device.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to pay for this.
Yeah. Well, again, those of you out there, I try to not try. It's my effort to be straightforward and tell you that while I'm hearing this clamor and this chatter about Mitt Romney and the Republicans and how they suppress votes and the sneaky things that they do, I want to see someone stand up and say that the Democratic Party here is just as sleazy as they describe the Republicans, because the end result, again, is a loss of votes. The right to vote has been impeded, and you've been deprived. I don't care how it's explained. It's not a conspiracy theory. It is a simple fact. Scott Nago did not make that decision on his own. I can assure you of that. And if he did, then that tells you the system is really flawed, that one guy can – we saw an example at Big Island – where he came out guns blasting and had no sympathy for the lady over there, the county clerk. But it was under his watch. So if she was badly motivated or poorly serving her position, then he should have taken the blame. If a police chief were to receive something like that with their men, something as drastic, guess what? More than likely, the police chief would be called on the carpet. But no, in this case, that case, Scott Nago got to make the decision and make to come out and speak against Kawauchi.
Well, he says to us, to the public, I'm sorry, this won't happen again. Mm-hmm. Well, no, an apology is not good enough. And I think I agree with you wholeheartedly that this kind of a decision of how many ballots to print and how many to distribute is not a one-person operation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have a full-time staff, and elections come up every 2 years. They can't get it right, then the whole staff needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
The whole staff needs to go. But I agree with you that this decision was made not just by him, but by someone else. And therefore, I filed a complaint with the Federal Voting Office
mm-hmm.
against the Office of Elections
mm-hmm.
and the entire staff. And that this is as bad as any other voter suppression. I don't care what you call it or how you get there, be it not when you deny a person the right to vote. It's all the same.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you bet it is. Where I'm a little frustrated about this process is that I saw the response that Neil Abercrombie gave. I saw the one that Brian Schatz gave. And let me just say that in Chile, there were examples where they stood before you with guns and prevented you from going into the ballot boxes or would kidnap you or what have you. In Mississippi, when I was growing up, when the Freedom Riders came to town, those same Emmett Till and those folks that and in that era that died. I lived in Bolivar County, which is Cajoma County, and all of those Sunflower and those areas. But here is the problem. When we would accompany our relatives to vote, what would happen is that how they would suppress that vote is that they wouldn't suppress it. They would come through and maybe there would be a ham. And I want to share this story with people because they don't understand the value. People died. People were drowned, hung, lynched so that you and I and the others can have a vote. People of color now. Now, a lot of people say we're blacks of thin skin and got a chip on the shoulder. But the Voting Rights Act came out of not a dream, not of a moment that we were sensitive people and just couldn't stand up to the test and couldn't take it anymore. It was a simple fact that the world and Lyndon Baines Johnson and many others felt that it was about time that we as people of color, black people, had a right to go and vote. But we would go to these things, and instead of keeping you out in some instances before you get to there, you knew who you were going to vote for. Because whoever it was running for office would come and pick one guy in the community, and then in turn, or the guy that hauled the cotton pickers or the cotton choppers to the field would tell them, okay, you vote for Mr. Dirksen or whomever it is that you were running. That was one way. Then if you decided to make it to the polls and you felt that you wanted to have an independent streak and you showed that and you were overt about it, you would see these really fat, with pig jowls, guys driving around with shotguns and rifles and their pickup trucks and their dogs just driving around the voting polls. And this is what it is. So move forward. Now, that is a horrible scene. And what the intent behind that was to keep people from voting and suppress the vote and steer the vote and the outcome of an election. Well, if, in fact, the same thing without the dogs, without the guns, without the fat, well, they're still fat here, too, so, but without lynching and killing, Nago was successful in doing exactly what the bigots in Mississippi had been bred and raised to do, and he does it. And then the rest of the bigots who are part of this democratic process sit there and tell us about Mitt Romney and the Republicans and how they're doing it to the black people and how they're doing it to the Latinos. And yet within the forces of the Democratic Party, this is tolerated.
Hold on a minute. You're going to fasten your vest over there.
So, anyway, this is, again, Google, any one of you out there, and you're more than welcome to call in 524-1080. I'm not going to try to be insightful, but it's a very alarming period of time in that I don't see, not the outrage, I don't see the humanity, the concerns that should be echoing throughout. And when you can pick up a paper and you look and it tells you that some people are just paranoid pretty much and it's a conspiracy theory and that's jumping to conclusions, well then I would say this is, let me let you hear. Here's an official statement by Scott Nago, and it's about as lame as you can get, but I'm not going to try to go through the whole thing at once. But the Office of Elections apologizes to all voters who were impacted by the insufficient amount of ballots at various polling places across the city and county of Honolulu. This will not happen again. It should have said, I apologize, and I've offered my resignation. And the governor, who doesn't really have anything, it's the commission, and we'll explain how that works. The legislators get to appoint the commissioners who in turn select the Nago. But that's what should have been said. We acknowledge the wrong amount of ballots was ordered for this election. This was due in part to the Office of Elections adjusting its normal model for calculating the amount of ballots for each polling place. These changes failed to provide necessary amounts of paper ballots for each precinct. No guns, no dogs, no trucks, no rednecks, no bigots, but no ballots. See the
and it's the same. It is exactly the same as the guns and all of the other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and this is. This is not foreign. Well, in our memory, of course, this is new. But this is not foreign to Hawaii. You know, in the plantation days, when they had votes, they would put the string from the ceiling with the pencil on it. And if you marked one way, they knew who you voted for. If you marked the other, they could tell by the way the string moved. Mm-hmm. So they were controlling. And then, of course, if you didn't vote right, well, there were consequences to pay. And that's when the Big Five was in control, plantation days. So this isn't, you know, this controlling the vote is not new. It's done all over the world. And we thought that after Bloody Sunday, the Selma to Montgomery march, where so many people were mowed down by police, 3,000, I think it was. And it was right after that that Lyndon Johnson said, enough, enough. And he signed the Voting Rights Act that was March, in July, which is really moving for the Congress. And he said, and we shall overcome. And yet, here we are. That was 1965, and here we are still all over the United States having trouble.
Yeah. Well, I'm really bothered because it sits right here at home, and you turn on the TV, and I'm repeating myself over and over because it's that frustrating and it's that dumb that I'm trying, by repeating it, eventually I think I'll be able to process it. But here's another. On election day, when the polls started to report that they were getting low on ballots, we attempted to deliver additional ballots. attempted to? You mean you don't have in place after you've already screwed up? So it's not a conspiracy theory. It's not a theory that's if you take these actions, the most important thing to you would be to make sure that there was fluidity in the process of voting, because that's your job, not to hinder, not to hamper.
One young man from a polling place, a worker in a polling place in Kamloops, at 1 o'clock called in to say, hey, we are running short of ballots. They put him on hold for an hour. Now, this is his testimony. They put him on hold for an hour at 1 o'clock. They did not get ballots until 4.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is that excuse? Did they, you know, what?
Well,
they gave him no excuse.
Well, remember, Marsha, you said they were analyzing. They are analysts. Okay. So this is how we got to this point.
And those things, the paper has, the Star Advertiser has been so superficial.
Mm-hmm.
So superficial. They did not even, every article gave a different amount, a different count of how many precincts were impact.
Mm-hmm.
And now, okay, so I'm going to get very, your audience will say she is not objective. True. I'm not being objective. If you look at the precincts that were impacted, they were the ones where, at the primary, where the anti-rail Ben people had really the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the precincts that were impacted. Now, of course, I can't prove that this was a conspiracy, but it was East Honolulu, Waimanalo, the Windward Side, Waianae, Mililani. Those were the ones that were impacted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those were the anti-rail people, those in the primary where Ben got big numbers, and they didn't get ballots.
Hold on one second. Go ahead real quick. I'm going to answer, let a caller.
Go to your call.
Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question.
My comment is they probably could have engaged the fire department or police helicopter to deliver those needed ballots if the traffic was a problem. And I agree with you, Scott Nago should either be fired or he should resign.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you. Go ahead, Marcia.
Well, they have what is called troubleshooters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are people in cars that when a polling place calls in and says, my phone isn't working, I don't have enough ballots, something is wrong, these are troubleshooters, and they are supposed to get there with to take care of it. My machine is jammed, whatever. And these people are dedicated to a certain amount of polling places. They are ready to come and help you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you've got to go print some ballots and go to the warehouse and blah, 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 whatever that was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That cannot be an excuse for not getting it there, because those troubleshooters are trained to do exactly that.
Yeah, we have,
that's not an excuse. I'm not buying any of that.
We have posted up the actual operation training booklet, and so that, you know, I don't want to sit here and pretend that I'm guessing at this. When Linda Lingle ran the first time, I volunteered. Because the concern, you know, I mean, I'll vote for anybody that'll get the fleas off my back. So I'll vote for Linda Lingle. I'll vote for anyone that'll say to the Democrats, you have our trust, but you're squandering it. So either do what's right by us or we'll get you out. So when Linda Lingle ran the first time, I had the great desire to hop in the taxi cabs and go there to make sure that the theory was that sometimes people pull over and stuff the ballots. Well, I want to do my role in knowing that that's possible. But who would have thought that you don't need hoods, You don't need to burn crosses. You don't need to scare the black people. You don't need to scare anything. You don't need to do anything. All you have to do is say, we didn't order enough because we had a model. And that model was wrong. Didn't even say it was wrong. But that model, so in other words, we have been robbed, we. And when I say if it was one person, and the sad thing is we'll never know who it was that really were prevented from voting. We don't know who and how many were the exact number that were discouraged. We don't know. But it says here in his statement, the office, Ignago's statement, the office was able to replenish ballots to a number of polling places before running out. Okay. That tells you that even their so-called backup plan failed. And they go on to say, as the day went on, the amount of polling places experiencing this problem outstripped my staff's ability to deliver ballots before the supply of ballots was exhausted. Well, if anybody can figure that one out for me, please call me and let me know that this man wasn't on drugs or he's a liar or someone have their hand up his shirt and telling him what not to say, not what to say, because he's just double talk, and it is deadly.
Our young man that I was telling you about in Kaimuki, mm-hmm. when he did get ballots, they were for Waianae. They mm-hmm. didn't have his candidates, the ones from Kaimuki, on the ballot. Mm-hmm. They had the Waianae candidates. Mm-hmm. See, they didn't even get him the right ballot.
They got their hands caught in the ballot box. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, aloha kakaiaka.
Good morning. Hello. Aloha.
And to Marsha.
Aloha.
Yes, Marsha, I recall back in the late, early 90s, remember Vote Scam with the Collier Brothers? They wrote, Jim and Kenneth Collier wrote a book called Vote Scam.
Yes.
I may be wrong, but I think that you were part of a group that I belonged to. It was a Citizens Committee for Voter Integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And we had gotten involved with what was going on because at that time, Sequoia Pacific was introducing the computer system.
Yes, yes.
Remember that, yeah.
And through the vote, and through the vote,
And we monitored the voting.
Mm-hmm.
And we were escorted also out when we pointed out some of the deficiencies. Anyway, one of the things that caught my attention, among other things, on this next past election, I have people that had voted absentee,
mm-hmm.
Had gone to the polls and taken a family member there. And out of their curiosity, they went into the voting area, showed their ID, basically, and they were still on the list.
Well,
the registration.
The way it's supposed, this, and the operative word is supposed, the way it's supposed to work is that once you mail in your ballot or walk in, that you are checked off as voted. So when the poll books arrive at the polling place, your name should have already been checked off as having voted, even if you show up.
Yeah, it should have been scratched off, right?
It should have. They don't take it off. They just mark voted.
They just mark. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is done prior mm-hmm. to delivering the poll book. Now, that's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah. Well, however it was.
Our problem is bigger than what the people of Hawaii think it is.
I think so. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm talking about the superficial analysis, and the newspaper is of no value. They don't hire any reporters that actually have any history or know how to do any investigation. Mm-hmm. And so we get the superficial analysis.
Well,
I think the only recourse that we have at this point that we control, evidently we don't control anything with voting, is boycotting the newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
the Star Bulletin and their smear campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Star advertising.
Whatever that thing is, yeah.
Yeah.
And their smear campaign, campaign 1 week before the election.
Mm-hmm. Terrible.
Also, Hawaiian Airlines, how they raping the people insofar as transportation is concerned. We need to focus on these kind of things and boycott this. And people just don't travel. People don't advertise, don't buy papers. Do it for 1 year and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's our last trump card.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll let you guys go.
Thank you.
Thank you to Marsha again for your your presence is always appreciated.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
That makes me feel good. Are you a veteran?
Yeah,
are you
I'm a veteran, but I don't.
Well, happy, happy. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, I didn't get any medals, just a good contact.
No, thank you for your service.
I think I was a sharpshooter with hand grenades. Okay.
All righty.
Thank you.
Yeah. So this statement with Nago, by state law, all voters in line at the close of polls are able to vote. You know, if you're short of ballots at this certain precinct or this polling place and you're standing in line, why does Nago need to tell you, say something stupid like this? When if he knows you're short of ballots, who cares if you stood in line? Now, they had one machine there, an electronic, but if you're in line and the lines were long, a lot of people, I've spoken to several, and they've told me they just gave up. They walked away because they either had babysitters, they had to get back to the job, or they were just not interested. So what goes on is that as such, we went to the media and encouraged all impacted voters to remain in line as they would be permitted to vote and that they should utilize the electronic voting machine. Now, the question is, why go to the media? Why not dispatch someone or make a phone call and have someone to say, for the last person standing in line, we're going to, but you call the media? How many people sit in line with the radio hooked around their neck or a TV in their hands, number one?
Well, let me tell you, on election day, at 4 minutes after four, I drove past Holy Trinity Church, and the line of automobiles to get into the parking lot. Holy Trinity is one of those that was impacted. The line to get into the parking lot was 2 miles long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is at 3 minutes after, 4 minutes after four.
Let me see.
When I came back at quarter five, that line stretch was double that, and I saw cars pull out.
Right. Did that last?
Just to get, and they, you know, they didn't come back.
Well, the question is, did that polling place have shortage of ballots?
Yes.
Okay.
It's one of those on
hold
the
on
list.
Hold on, one
yes.
second. Good morning, caller.
And there was
caller.
A woman
you, hold on,
trying
Marcia.
To
Marcia,
give people
hold on.
Numbers.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hello?
Yes, good morning. You have a comment or question? Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I noticed that I delivered them to Conneohe Elementary, and that was never listed on the list of places that ran out of ballots.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely had to check in extra ballots when I picked up the ballots there.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that concerns me is they have these foreign language ballots that offer to voters. And I first noticed this in the primary because I've been doing this since 2000. And the people at the polling precinct, they said to me, what do we do with these ballots? Because those ballots are just included in this supply box, and they have numbers on them, but they're not delivered by the delivery and collection team. They're just there in the voting place with the supply box, and I don't see that there's any watching of those numbers going back and forth.
Let me ask you a question. Were you told prior to leaving the state capitol for the staging grounds that there was a shortage of ballots?
No, because you leave it like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right, but I mean they knew that they were going to be short because their model they had decided to not to get.
No, you just take what you're given.
Right, and so when you got there, did they? I know you don't sit there and open the boxes. Was there any discussion or by the chairperson of the receiving party that signed off of those, did they acknowledge or say that there was a shortage?
When I picked it up, they did, yes.
Mm-hmm. But when delivering, nothing, huh?
No, I don't know if you would know in the morning. that precinct for about the last five elections, and we've never had a problem there. This is the first time.
And you're saying that your district was what specific? I see Kaneohe Elementary School was one of the receivers. Is that the site?
Yeah, that's where I've seen these lists printed several times in the paper, and I've never seen Kaneohe Elementary listed on it. Even though when I went there, I had a double receipt because they did deliver extra ballots there during the day, so that means they ran out.
Right.
The chairs told me they ran out.
Yeah, they show here Kaneohe Elementary School, but they didn't put a check by it as to indicate that it was missing.
That's what I'm saying. There may be other precincts that aren't even being reported because I definitely know this one did.
Okay.
I picked up extra ballots from it, and I had to collect a separate sheet that was taken there during the day when they delivered the extra ballots.
So what would you surmise or sum this up from your personal insight and experience on this one? What would you, how would you describe
it? Well, it's hard to say to me what went on during the day because I don't vote in that precinct. But I'm just saying that it bothers me that they sent out this list of precincts that ran out of ballots. Why would they not deliver a complete list?
Right.
And it also bothers me with those foreign language ballots that those aren't part of the ballots that I deliver that are, accounted for on the sheets of paper. Why do you have loose ballots sitting in a supply box there?
Well, I good question.
And there's no instruction when I bring it back saying put the chairs always have asked me on the primary and the general, what do we do with these foreign language ballots? And there's nothing in my book about them. They can't find anything in their book. Why do we have these ballots just floating around in a precinct? And I brought it up to the DNC chair after the primary, and they said, oh, we'll just look into it.
They're going to.
It was the same thing when I went for the general.
Wow. Can you send us an email at carol@carolcox.com? We'll keep you anonymous if you choose to. But I would like to get more information on this and speak
Carol
with
you.
Yes, carolcox.com, carolcox.com.
Okay, I'll find it.
Please, and thank you. The email is carol@carolcox.com.
I'm sure I can find it. I'll have to do it after church. I'm about to go right now.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Carol? Go ahead, Marcia.
Yeah, okay. Now, I work the D.C. team just like she did. This is the first year I haven't. And, yes. Every ballot is supposed to be accounted for at the end of the day when you go to pick them up. And they all are numbered. And it's always this issue about, well, what do we do with foreign language ballots?
Mm-hmm. Well,
my partner, who I worked with for 20 years, said that the new instructors for the DC team didn't know what they were talking about. So, this whole thing was a travesty.
Yeah. Well, it still looms over us, and I don't see any one speaking out to have these folks fired. And anyway, there was a caller that called. If you care to call back, you're more than welcome to. Let me call. Are you there?
Yeah. Oh, hi, Carol. Listen, this is a travesty. I call it a crime, really. That's the most basic mandate of a democracy is to be able to have the right to vote I would think there should be a law that makes it a crime or actually pays the voter some if they have to wait more than say maybe a half hour then they get a nice bonus for having to wait in the line plus and there should be provisions to make sure that there's much slip. Everything is all the ducks are in line. It's really outrageous. And of course, like you said, these folks that manage the elections should be on fire. Period. Case closed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
All righty. Aloha.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Yeah, he's right. They should be fired for cause so they can't collect unemployment.
Yeah. Well, I'm just
It is, to an answer to this gentleman that just called, it is absolutely a crime. It says so
in the Voting Rights Act of 1965 mm-hmm. as amended. Mm-hmm. It is a crime. Mm-hmm. And that's why I filed, because to deny anyone the right to vote, and we know, we know they ask you, they cut off registration at a certain date. And the reason they do that is so they know exactly how many people are registered and in what precinct, so that they can provide a ballot plus extras for everybody registered in the precinct, not guessing how many people are going to vote.
Okay, so finishing off this gentleman's statement, Nagos, he said, in the end, all voters in the line, in line at the close of polls were permitted to vote.
Yes.
The question is, if these polls had shortage and had no ballots, what did they vote on? And they had to do a return. I don't think everybody was there standing in line and went ahead and waited for the machine, because it was a slow process. So he states, ultimately, in closing, ultimately, as I stated before, the Office of Election apologizes to all voters who were impacted by this, and we will make sure that this never happen again.
Well, but that does not make the voter and the candidate whole. It just does not.
Yeah.
You can't rerun yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday is gone, saying, I'm sorry, it won't happen again.
But now,
that does not make, and the voter, me, and the candidate whole. It doesn't. And there's, and the governor is wanting on this one. He, his statement was inane. Brian Schatz, the lieutenant governor, who apparently did not talk. He was head of the Democratic Party campaign, coordinated campaign. He apparently did not talk to Scott, because they had a major get out the vote campaign. Major.
Right.
So if you know, if you look at the national news, you know the Republicans and the Democrats were working at get out the vote, and you don't have enough ballots to accommodate that?
Yeah. Well, here's a problem, and we're coming down to the close of this hour. Here's a problem. When the paper, the advertiser, Star Advertiser, say that conspiracy theorists were drawing conclusions, or let me just submit this. That single fact alone suggests to me, in my inquisitive mind, and this one fact, and there are many others that I'm going to share in the next hour, but if you have an aggressive campaign to increase the vote and get people to vote and participate in the voting, and then you're using a model that was based on the previous election to decide what number of ballots you would buy, or purchase. So what that tells me is that this is a big lie, and this is why I jump to the conclusion and say, wait, if you are aggressively spending taxpayers' dollars to enhance and increase the number of voters participating in the voting process, and then on the other hand, you've already decided to not or shortstop the number of ballots you buy, what if your program to recruit people to voting is a success?
As it was,
and then you understand. So someone is lying, and I draw that conclusion, and I say it's not a conspiracy, a theory. It is. They have
it's
an obligation.
Fact.
It is a fact. And I saw that. I read that article in the Advertiser, and I was sickened to my stomach. But then on the other hand, I know if it's a one town that owns one paper, and the others,
and their candidate won,
and then you know they just days before say, that candidate is ours, and he's a good guy. But, you know, what about the landfill? What he was a managing director and all of that. What about all these things?
He killed the gas cap. He's in bed with the oil companies.
Yeah.
They didn't talk about that.
Yeah, but I'm not going to rehash his politics.
No.
But because I think I'm looking at this. If this was Ryan, the names were Ryan and Romney, and there was an R behind it, there'd be a declaration. The Democrat Party would be frothing at the mouth and filing every complaint there is. But because it's the Democratic Party in control who's sticking it to the people here and have stuck it to them, that's
the
problem.
In my complaint, I sent it not only to the feds, but to the head of the Democratic Party, to the head of the Republican Party, and the Senator Sloan, and Senator Tsui, and Speaker of the House, Faye, and the head. I wanted all of them to know.
Yeah, that's like calling someone's favorite son and saying, your son just threw a rock through my window. You better, you know, they're not. The thing is to ask for the Attorney General to prosecute and ask that the Republican Party, just like there, you Google voter suppression, and what you see is Republican is doing this, Republican. And yet right here in Hawaii, it's Democrats. Who was sticking it to the people?
I only saw it once on national news that they put Hawaii in the category with voter suppression.
Yeah, but, you know, it's anyway, hold on. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question quickly?
Hi, Carol, again. Listen, I heard that this is the Voting Rights Act that's going up, is going to be going up on the Supreme Court.
Right.
I'd like to see your guest to shed some light on that. That sounds kind of scary to me because those five kings in robes that kind of have the majority.
The Voting Rights Act is always under assault and under threat. I mean, it consider how it came historically, and so nothing new. But right now, that's the way it is. And Marsha, real quick.
One of the counties in Alabama asked this. They've moved all the way up the court, and they keep getting shut down. So they're finally at the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, the timing couldn't have been worse. The day after the election, they decide that they will hear Alabama's case, that they are no longer in the voter suppression. They are doing everything right, and so we don't need the Voting Rights Act. However, the attorneys who have been fighting this all along are on board and saying, no, you can't get away with this. So, yes, you're right. It is at the Supreme Court. And, yes, those characters that gave us Citizens United are scary.
Oh, yeah, that's very scary.
Who is Citizens United?
The Citizens United are those giving those guys with all the money the right to spend as much money as they want, saying corporations are people.
Yeah, and that's my very point. We always run to the corner and shout, look what they're doing, look what the right wingers are doing. Let's look inward this time and project on.
This is the best reason why the greatest reason why we got Obama back, because there probably will be some Supreme Court nominees that he'll be able to nominate. And there's a little hope in that.
Well, yeah, he's a leader of the pack in this one. He's a Democrat, right? Yeah. So let's see if the democracy is alive and well in here. And we'll see if Nago is fired immediately. We'll see then what they mean. But we'll be coming back in the next hour. This is the Carol Cox Show. Marsha, thank you for joining me.
Thank you. I just need to say aloha to everyone. And I'm on my way to a veterans event, since this is Veterans Day.
Okay, well,
for all of you veterans that are listening, thank you for your service, because it's your service that has allowed me to stand up and scream and shout and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So, again, thank you.
Thank you, Marsha.
Aloha.
All right, thank you. Yeah, just the nick of time. Crooks running around the town, leading us by the nose, right? Anyway, we'll see you in the next hour. Carol Cox.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Every night you take your leaving the legacy.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. I play that because two things. It's a good song. It's Veterans Day celebration. Tomorrow is the holiday, and also we're always reminded and we thank the veterans and all, but who'd ever thunk that here in Hawaii, of all places, we would be sitting and talking about on Veterans Day the suppression of votes of free people. So all of you that say aloha and mahalo to the soldiers, you owe it to them. They're people that have actually died in the past and fighting for, quote, freedom in other places. We got to get their backs on this one, folks. And if you think it's just the Republicans that are screwing you, think again. It's the little guy who calls himself the governor. It's the little guy who calls himself the lieutenant governor. It's the little guy that calls himself Nagano or Nago. It's the little guys and the guys that were appointed. And understand, the elections commissions, and I'll just give you so you'll understand, some were saying, well, why didn't the governor say something or do something? Well, he did a proclamation on the Big Island issue by leaving the polls open for a period of time to respond to that issue. So he can take an action and make a firmer statement and demand immediately that the attorney general or refer it up to the U.S. attorney. Mind you, you're still talking about a Democratic Party that, you know, Obama gets to appoint Nakanani, and so it's not. I have asked the elections commissions to conduct a independent investigation, not calling the United Nations troops, because, you know, they might end up raping your kids and your dogs and chickens and what have you. But we need a body, an independent body. And so the Elections Commission, under Act 57 bill, House Bill 267 in 2004, established a 9-member panel called the Elections Commission, which replaces Elections and Appointment Review Panel. The 9-member panel is composed of the following: 2 members appointed by the Senate President, which is Sean Satsui; 2 members appointed by the Senate Minority Leader, which is Sam Sloan; 2 members appointed by the Speaker of House, which is Calvin Say; 2 members appointed by the House Minority Leader, which is Gene Ward; 1 member selected by a 2/3 vote of the Elections Commission serves as chairperson. And a person from the same county as a departing Elections Commission member will fill a vacancy in the Elections Commission. If the vacancy is not filled within 15 days, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court will fill the vacancy. The Elections Commission appoints the Chief Elections Officer and oversees the functions of the CEO and the Office of Elections. So if you want to complain, the Charles King was appointed by Minority Leader. Zara Marshall was appointed by the House Minority Leader, and she's on Maui. The other, King, is from Kauai. Patricia Berg is from Kauai. She was appointed by the Senate Minority Leader. The Senate President appointed Zale Okazaki on Oahu. Margaret Masunaga, Senate President of Hawaii Island. Warren Onikasa, and he in turn is off of Maui. House Speaker nominated him, and Daniel Young was also the House Speaker appointed. So, and they have the dates and all. Now, the duty of this commission is hold public hearings, investigate and hold hearings for receiving evidence of any violations and complaints, adopt rules pursuant to Chapter 91, employ without regard to Chapter 76 a full-time chief election officer pursuant to Section 11.1.6, and advise the chief elections officer on matters relating to elections. So I'm assuming that NAGO did just that, taking such drastic measures as not having a certain number of registered voters. Then he chose, maybe, well, obviously not order the number of ballots to match the number of registered voters. That seems to be a drastic measure and a very important step. So I think that would have qualified, in my personal opinion, qualified for the Elections Commission to actually have this under review. And if not, or I suspect maybe they did, and if not, then how ragged and how tattered is the right to vote, the process? But anyway, you can find that at the Office of Elections website, that information that I read you. And now keep in mind, this guy, NAGO, I don't know what it is with me and the maybe it's my accent. You know you got this liberal governor who still to date refuses to put me on an electronic press release. He gives it to Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and Disneyland, anybody. But for Carol Cox, the governor Bill Neil the Deal Abercrombie will not allow me to receive a press release from his office directly, electronically, and all you're doing is hitting the button. But that's okay. I'm glad the people in Mississippi treated me the way and caused me to equip me for people like Neil, when for no reason decide to just ignore you and screw you because you're half a citizen or something. I don't know. But to stand by and see hundreds, if not thousands, be deprived of their voting right to exercise that, and you don't see any excitement, to me, that's paramount and equal to hearing an announcement that there are 1,000 terrorists coming ashore to attack us. Because what is this place about? Freedom. Freedom of choice. Freedom to elect. Freedom to vote out, vote in. And so what would the terrorists be attempting to accomplish by invading or violating our sovereign boundaries or borders? Would they be here to influence the vote or get rid of us all so we wouldn't have to vote? This is, and I don't want to exaggerate this and sit here and pretend that it's more than what it is. I can't rise to the occasion or have enough words for you to tell you how important it is and why you, a listener, should know that this is a deadly act. This is an act that, though I voted absentee ballot mail-in, but now seeing this kind of behavior suggests to me that I can't trust the voting process here, me as an individual. I don't know if this knucklehead decided to not buy enough boxes to put the ballots in. I don't know that he didn't bother to get the voting elections office, get looking at their model and say for some nonsensical reason, we won't count all of these for some reason. Who knows? If you're taking the liberty of looking at a list of number of registered voters and then you use a model which has nothing to do with reality, how much did the state save? How much did NAGO save by not ordering the ballots? Is he afraid of trying to save trees? all of a sudden he's become a conservationist? Or I don't think that's his job. I think if it had cost $1 million to print extra ballots, then it should have been spent. But the problem here is that we shouldn't wait for the newspaper or anyone else to be outraged and express for us what we should feel naturally. If we wait for that moment, I will just tell you that there's a revolving door, and I'll remind you that the media today will be the spokesperson for the governor tomorrow. Louise Kim McCoy used to be a reporter here. She is now working at the governor's office. This is while stopping along the way at the mayor's office. And so when you are you really going to get that hard-hitting, jaw-dropping, bone-breaking investigative effort in this town? Should you really trust what a reporter writes or say in this town when tomorrow morning you've gone to them and you're waiting for them to say the things that you should be saying because they can put an edge on it? But then they disappear, and the next day you see them on TV saying, "Hi, I'm Carol Cox here, a spokesperson for the nonsensical agency within the government." You know, this is what you are handing over to the media. Not all media people are bad, but the reality is this is the nature of this beast here in this town. So if you're waiting, some of you might be outraged, and you're waiting for the next shoe to fall, don't wait too long, because in my opinion and my observations, the shoe is never, the other foot is never going to be, there won't be any movement. There should be an immediate. I contacted, for example, I filed a complaint with the Ethics Commission, with the campaign, the Elections Commission. And I've written and asked questions of, and just to share with you, as you know, I attempted to get Nago to come on the show and share with you regarding blind voters or people with other disabilities or the homeless. They wouldn't call me back. I had to call them and then finally get a chance to talk to them. And they flat out refused, told me they wouldn't come out and talk on these issues. So that, again, raises another point. If they were aggressively attempting to increase the number of voters and participation in the voting process, you would think they could have come on the show or called in or written a statement to explain how these things work as part of their aggressive process of recruiting voters. That didn't happen because they already know that they had ordered a certain number of ballots. So it suggests to me the action, and I think it's a conspiracy, and you know the definition of a conspiracy. It doesn't take much. The meeting of two minds that get together and in concert and basically and decide to commit a crime, and there's an overt act. So the overt act, in my opinion, and this one is that he just failed to order the ballots based on some model that who provided the model. But you have to know the talk of the town is that you open the paper up during these elections, you heard about how blacks were being deprived by the Republican Party in Florida, in Ohio, how the Latinos were deprived in Arizona and other places, and that the Clear Channel had put up billboards and all of that. But right here, at the luau, with the poi flying and the boy lying, we had ourselves the same thing that we've been complaining about the Republican Party. The same thing that has taken place in Chile. The same thing that we say that has taken place down in the South American countries. People were denied the right to participate and choose freely their government. And again, yeah, you didn't see any guns at the polling booth. Didn't need a gun. But I wrote on the 9th of November some of these questions. And if you have comment or want to share your thoughts, or if you think I'm off my rockers on today as Veterans Day and maybe we should put this aside, then turn into another channel. But I wrote this letter. You can call 524-1080 if you like. And I've posted this up, these questions. But this is the number of questions I've sent to Nago. I went to the office. He refused to talk to me because I guess I would ask him the wrong questions or the right questions. But I'm asking him, when did the Office of Elections determine that it would allow some polling places to have a shortage of ballots? Please specify the date and time. Now, I ask him in my letter, please respond to me by Saturday so that I could prepare for today's show. This is after going in person to talk to him now. So, what specific information did the Office of Elections rely on to allow some polling places to have a shortage of ballots? Were ballots not printed because of the Office of Elections wanted to save money? How were the polling places elected? What would have that would have a shortage of ballots? How did he decide which polling place would end up with a shortage? And as you heard, maybe if you're joining late or earlier, Marcia mentioned that. I can say that on this, I posted up and links to the actual primary, and it is suspect, and with great caution, even though Ben Cayetano lost, there's one element that we have to consider is that Carlisle was in the race in the primary. So did all of Carlisle's votes shift to Caldwell, therefore making that big change? Well, it may have, and Carlisle may have had loyal voters who will do whatever he says when he appeared and says, I'm supporting Caldwell and I think you should too. So maybe they all did, 100% of them. So we'll take that into consideration. But taking that into consideration and acknowledging that and not dismissing it and jumping to conclusions, but if you throw in that little dirty, nasty, stinky trick of holding back ballots, you've completed the assault that you set out. So one step would be to get the voters for Carlisle to migrate to the Caldwell part of town. And then you just don't go to sleep and say, well, we're going to do it on that. We'll ride the crest, the wave in. No, we'll add the little final touch by screwing the people in some of the polling areas or precincts that Cayetano did well. And they know this now. I mean, they have the documentation. Don't be fooled that, I mean, it's broken down. Just give you some examples. In Hawaii Kai, there is a list that tell you how many votes Ben Cayetano got, and it's there. For example, as a lady called earlier and said that the list is not accurate, Hawaii Kai, Kalama Valley, Cayetano had 4,311 to Caldwell's 2,162. This is in the primary. So at that, in that area alone, Cayetano was beating Caldwell 49% to 25%. Carlisle had 26. So if the 26% shifted over to Caldwell, maybe. But imagine taking and stabbing, just, you know, just to make sure you cut the ankle of the person that can't walk. You've already beat them up, but you just cut the tendon so they don't move further. Gross, isn't it? Anyway. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. I think you're right on. I was just thinking of
the word you were telling me when we met, transparency.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used that to get in people's faces. and once they know that they're being caught and hiding stuff, and they're trying to hide it, and they can't hide it, then stuff hits the fan.
Yeah.
I won't keep you on, but I just wanted to let you know that the gal at the Waikiki Health Center, Darlene, has resigned. And it's because we've been transparent. I mean, we've demanded to know things, you know.
You demanded transparency.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was thinking, right on, that's the way you got to do it. You have to get these people to come out with the truth, mm-hmm. you know. And a lot of times they reveal themselves, because what they'll do is they'll try and run away from you, answer the phone, blah blah blah, you know, they'll do anything they can
mm-hmm.
To avoid you, and then you know they're hiding something, and then the rest is, you know.
Yeah, so, okay
so the same as this voting thing, all this should be out, way out in the open, you know, because
mm-hmm.
So people know what's really going on. And I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, that's
right.
What our democracy is all about.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank
anyway,
you.
So have a good day.
Aloha. Aloha.
Aloha.
So, and along with that thought, the transparency, I have not confirmed that the head of Next Step has resigned. That was where Will Espero's son was appointed as one of the administrators there, and we raised questions about that and the treatment that this lady was handing down. Well, we haven't confirmed that personally, so I've been informed of it, but not confirmed it. So I with great caution, I speak to that. So, but I am looking at it, looking into it. So, but back to this ballot, and I do apologize to you that, beating the subject to death, but I've been there. I've seen it. I've personally taken my hoe to chop cotton and lay it down while in the hot sun to get to the polls to vote, because that was something that we couldn't do in the early ages. I was born in 53. The act itself came in 65. So this is a reality, and I don't care if you don't adopt the concerns that I have, and it's okay. I mean, I think that's why, again, it's a free nation, and you can choose freely to go your way and let the current take you along with the drift, or you can control your destiny. And that's the joy of freedom. But I will warn you that this behavior that could be so overt without consequences and not fearing consequences and the immediate reaction, when it comes to depriving people of civil rights in the state of Hawaii, the bureaucratic system is flawed, and it does not speak to protecting people. And we boast how this is a melting pot, we're people of color. Well, let's get past the sex of it. Having kids of mixed race is a wonderful thing, and the world is going to be brown, and we're going to make it go around, and it's going to feel good. But if you're treating these people like they have no rights and like they're being sheep and cattle, then what have you accomplished? You just got a brown-skinned bunch of sheep. We need to change that. We need to take control of this thing called government in this town. And the case in point, what's consistent with that is that this guy, Rex Johnson, who was telling all the racist jokes and using the state, Hanabusa, Marion Higa, Linda Lingle, Calvin Say, Ryan Evans, all covered it up. They knew that this dude Rex Johnson was being racist, to best describe it, in his comments about people of color. He was sexist and working for the state and using the state computers, and they all equated it to, and I think I'll think of her name, the Senator McCardo Kim, she too chimed in, and it was just like baseball or some nonsense. Someone said something. It was no, until we file a request to look for the racist remarks and get copies of that from the DBED, that's when it came out pretty much. They don't get excited about civil rights in this town. But they will tell you, look at me, I'm one of you. I'm brown like you. We have to be careful of the Howley man. We have to be careful. But then you look and you don't, you see the god-awful screwing that we get and the lying and cheating within government. And you can't blame it on people of a different race. We look at the people that we look like, the Mufi Hannemans, who stick it to us, the Calvin Says, who stick it to us, all of them. If they're not excited and angered by this behavior, then that's the greatest evidence that any of you, if you think this is a democracy and not a big party, then you better start thinking again. You better go consult an advisor, because something isn't working for you. There's too many examples, and these are the perfect examples. When an agency has an obligation, I'm a citizen. I have an obligation. I have a radio show. I have a right to ask questions. They've acknowledged that I have a right to ask questions because this is a free country, and they, in fact, waive fees when I ask for documents from places because I'm, quote, media. And we'll be using this to disseminate it and get it out to the people to show them how government works. So here's what goes on with this. But they won't afford me an interview because they think that I'm going to take their words and hash them up and regurgitate them and present falsities, false statements, or make claims that when in fact I would just tape them and play it back. You could hear it firsthand. This is not being democratic. This is not being representative of the people. I'm part of that cluster or that number of free people that the government is supposed to respond to. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Mr. Cox, thanks for taking my call. Excuse my voice, so hoarse this morning. Listening to your show, and thank you so much for following up with what this voter fraud, because that's exactly what it is. The taxpayers and voters of this city and the state have been disenfranchised. I've lived here since '82, and I've never seen anything like this ever happen in an election cycle. And it's not coincidental. They deliberately, when I say they, the people in charge of this guy, Noga, and who his superiors, it was actually orchestrated, just to do what they did, disenfranchise the people, the candidates, and totally disenfranchise the voters. And in regards to what you do as an investigator, you do it in an extremely professional way, and I think that is why I'm addressing your comment as to, maybe them not wanting to work with you, stonewall you. It's because they're afraid of what you uncover. You're not in anybody's pocket. And as long as you're not in anybody's pocket and you're not beholden to anybody, then you're not their friend. Mm-hmm. And, you're objective in your investigative work, and you bring out the truth, and people are afraid of the truth. They don't, especially the criminals, political criminals that we have out here, and the environmental criminals, try to get away with everything. Thank you so much for everything you're doing.
All righty. Well, thank you. Thank you. Speaking of a question that they won't talk, what I said here, what model of information did the Office of Elections use to withhold ballots from polling places short of ballots? Now, he'd already acknowledged or claimed that they used a model. you would think that would be an easy question to get back to me and answer me, right? Because he's already made the statement. He's already claimed that it was a model they relied on that was faulty. So I just asked a follow-up question. What was that model? May I have a copy? No answer. No response. I did, in fact, call to confirm they received my letter. And the clerk confirmed they received it. And I sit in early in the morning before the chickens got up. So it would be there when they put their key in the door and unlock it. So what happened? She then asked me, what's our deadline? How much time do we have to respond? Well, isn't that funny? You don't read? I state right in there before my show airs on Sunday, whatever time you take. So I then was the withholding reviewed and authorized by the Elections Commission? Could have answered that. If yes, when and how was the review conducted and when was it authorized? Did you advise your staff and delivery control personnel that some polling places would be short of ballots prior to leaving? If yes, when and how did the notification occur? Again, most of the people that I've spoken to, the delivery crew or the teams, weren't told. But you would think, again, this is another thing that I say points to corruption and conspiracy. And that is, if you know that early on and months ago that you hadn't ordered the number of ballots to match the number of registered voters, you already know that. And you should have shared that with these voters. And like one said, Ed said, you can use a helicopter. Well, that's fine. But not having those things in place, again, points to corruption and lies and manipulation and depriving and suppressing and abridging the rights of the voter. So did your office advise the polling place chairman or persons in charge that their polling place would have a shortage of ballots? If yes, who and when and how were they informed? Could have answered that. Real simple. I didn't ask them what was the blood type and were you born before the year of the snake or the rat and you have to consult your family of nine generations. These are simple questions. Did you or your agency consult with any other persons associated with the Office of Elections regarding the shortage of ballots for affected polling places? If yes, who were they and when did the consultation occur? Simple question. What other counties within the state had a shortage of ballots at polling places? Simple question. I understand now Kauai had some experience. Please identify all polling places that were short of ballots and the number of ballots each were shorted. I was trying to get an accurate number. They put out a list and a flimsy statement, and that was it. I still haven't gotten a number. What is the number of registered voters for each of the affected polling places? What is the total number of ballots that your agency had printed for this recent voting period? Did the Office of Elections save money by not printing some ballots? If yes, how much? Real simple question, because I don't know. If you think I'm off base, then please share with me, because, you know, if you get a vine or weed in your garden, you either prune it or get rid of it, or you have a garden of weeds. So if I'm wrong, or please let me know. How were the polling places selected that were short of ballots, and was there a committee or was a decision made solely by you? How many people did the shortage of ballots at polling places affect? Have polling places been short of ballots in previous elections? If yes, how many? And anyway, initial reports claim that the Office of Elections only learned of the shortage of ballots after polling places notified your office of shortages. Imagine that statement, folks, that the Office of Elections only learned of the shortage of ballots after polling places notified the Office of Shortages. But you know that you didn't order the number of ballots that matches the registered voters. You understand why I jumped to the conclusion? Because I didn't jump to the conclusion. I think and I read and I dig and I'm concerned. I would rather take on 1,000 terrorists right now, barehanded, because I think that you would be behind me and rally with me and we'd come up with some kind of resistance. But on this one, the terrorists already live here and they control us. Same effect now. You can say I'm an extremist, but same effect. They're robbing us of our freedom, of our right to participate in a free government, in a democratic process, something that is valuable as diamonds, as gold, as platinum. Because believe it or not, this is all you have as an American citizen, other than bills and a little money and something you might inherit. But the only thing that you still have in this country, you can't go and tap into the waters of the earth because you'll need a permit, you'll need something. If you put up a blower and start sucking wind to pump into your house and your facility, you'll need to get permits. If you want to build a house somewhere and live like a natural critter, you'll have to own it or pay somebody for rent. So the only thing you as an American citizen, as a human being today in this world, if you want to be part of the system, is that you have a vote. That's all you got left. And I mean it. That's all you have. Your vote isn't impacted by the number of hot dogs or hamburgers or bad diet you have. You own that. You don't have to pray for it. You own that. And they haven't learned yet to take it away from you just outright to say, okay, forget it. You're not going to come in here and vote. You don't have a right to vote anymore. Other than, as we've talked before, if you have been arrested, they'll take it from you there. And the old tricks, and we won't go into them, the Jim Crow and all of that. That's why this Voting Rights Act came about. But the only thing you as an American citizen own today that the government can't tax, can't charge you for it, can't regulate it, can't shape it, can't do anything is your vote. And if you think that it's okay to sit back and wait until the media do the investigation for you, then I will salute all of you and say, don't send your guys off to war. Don't send your young kids off to war. Don't see another human being go abroad to fight and disperse freedom and democracy when we, right here, through trickery, through one knucklehead who make the decision, and others are involved. Now, I wholeheartedly believe that there's a conspiracy on a higher level. And I think I can lay that out for you. That's what we are living in, folks. And I'm not the preacher. I can't give a good sermon. But I will tell you, don't look to the east for the terrorists. Look to the Democratic Party. They have taken the rights of the free people in this state, in this country, and they've squandered it. And they sit on TV and they give this, oh, yeah, you know, well, I've never seen it during my time in office. It didn't ever happen. You know, I don't know. You should have seen tables like the guys do the demonstration with the karate chop. You should have seen tables crashing, breaking. And Abercrombie's head, the liberal that he is, should have just been red near blow up. You have to put cold water on him to cool him down. Nothing. Nothing. The legislators that are the appointing entities should have convened to, at minimum, to convey to the people, Calvin Say, Sam Sloan, Gene Ward, and they should have been out there holding a press conference, giving a formal statement, saying that we're going to hold the people's feet to the fire on this one. But we didn't hear that, and still yet to hear it. So I asked that question, why did your office not inform the polling places in advance that they may experience a shortage of ballots if you knew your agency had decided not to print the number of ballots that would be equal to the registered voter list your office possessed. And that is just a few questions that I have asked. And that, again, I'll be the old man who turns to a rock waiting for answers. But as you know, my practice is if you don't answer me back, I'm still not going to go silent. I don't believe in that practice. And so this is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. The it's Veterans Day. And sometimes we have to put things where they are. And the on January 18th, 1965. Good morning, Carl. You have a comment or question?
Darryl.
Yes.
You know, I'm part Japanese, and my dad was in the 442, you know, the mm-hmm. veterans. There's three words that they would say on this one. Ie wakarimasen, don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Bakatari, stupid. Yeah, you know, really. Is ignorance,
mm-hmm.
you know, of their part for not having these ballots made accessible for these people that come there. They don't have anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. And, you know, my dad fought in the war. He fought his best to come and represent his race,
mm-hmm.
to come back here in Hawaii to be a U.S. citizen, to prove himself that he was a U.S. citizen, instead of
mm-hmm.
having our people, you know, the Japanese assets on the mainland being put in internment camps. You know, because of their race, you know.
Right.
It's ridiculous. And, Carol, you know, I just want to let you know that the Seafather Citizens for a Fair Day Ride is going to have a meeting on Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
November 13th, Honolulu Holly second floor conference room under the DTS and Oahu Transit Services for the handy van and the bus. I hope your listeners out there will come from 10 a.m. to 11:45.
Yeah, I'm going to try to make that. It's in the chambers of the Honolulu Holly, right?
Yeah, we've been pushed aside so long now about this handy vans and the bus
mm-hmm.
situation. Got a new mayor coming in. I invited Caldwell to come down, but I'm not too sure he'll make it. But I'm quite sure that we'll have some council members there.
Okay.
City council and some other people there, too. So.
All righty. Well,
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining and listening to, I would submit that most would say a rant, and I would say what you're hearing is a craving, and I'm a veteran, and tomorrow morning, if as old as I am now and as sluggish and round and chubby, I'll be at the front line waiting if I'm needed. I love this country. I love what it stands for. But I will tell you, you should learn to love it too. Not for the jobs that it provide you. Not for the nice Lexus that you get to drive. Not for the tequilas and the sunrises that you're able to drink every day and sit and let the sand fall through your toes and look at the pretty women and the handsome men and hop on a plane and go abroad and go to Vegas and take a chance on Lady Luck. That's America. But guess what? On this slippery slope, you'll be drinking illegal booze because the government may write it off. You can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do anything because when they start to pulling their tricks, they told you, watch out for the Republicans. They'll steal your vote. Watch out for those Republicans. That Mitt Romney, he'll get you. You know, watch out. They don't like black people going to the polls. Watch out. This is what they told you. You look at CNN, MSNBC, all of them. They'll tell you. I want to see their barbs trained on the Democrat Party now. Because truth is truth, and democracy is at stake here, and it's threatened, and people's right to vote is challenged. The Voting Rights Act in Alabama is a big concern, but I think that I'm more concerned now with the people that look like me, that talk like me, and dream like me have been hoodwinked. And become part of this system that they will lie to, we will lie to one another. And then we will inflict injury and rob one another of our right to be really free. So when I see you at the pub next time, give a wink, and I thank you for telling me I'm doing a good job at the cleaning up the environment and getting the pollution out and all. But there's also a cancerous element amongst us. There's mercury, leads, and arsenic, and all of those things that are heavy metals and cause an illness, can threaten the health of a nation. But there's also a cancerous element called the elections process that is flawed and have been weakened, and we are tolerating it, and it's wrong. Not just the Republicans, so let's try and clean the whole batch out and hold their feet to the fire. And then we're going to talk next week about the landfill, and we're going to talk a couple other issues on different universities here. Got some interesting things to talk about, but I appreciate you listening, and happy Veterans Day, and let's honor the veterans by holding NAGO, Abercrombie, the legislators, feet to the fire, because they gave their lives as we gave our lives. We still live, but they gave the ultimate, and it would be shameful to continue to acknowledge them. Every year we do the same thing, but every day we turn our backs on them when we tolerate this squandering and abridgment of our rights to vote. And they saved a little money, but voting is sacred to me anyway. So we'll talk to you next week, and I'll see you on the rebound. Okay, I just want to share one thing. A listener just texted, and the question was, if Ben had won and Kirk lost, how fast would they investigate? Good point. Anyway, please join me next week on the Carol Cox Show, and that's at carolcox.com is the website. And any comments, please don't hesitate to call. All right. Aloha.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu. Video.